so much, ladies, for leading us in worship this morning. And I feel like you guys are like a million miles away. Somebody said before we got in here, I think it might have been Conrad, we should all sit at the front so it looks like we're all here. Oh, thank you, Lisa. Oh, bless you, sister. Somebody I can look right at now. Oh, Russell's coming. All right. There's a movement of God. I feel it right now.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. And I'm so thankful you took the effort to come, you guys. Well, I just want to stop, pause. Thank you for leading us. I love that. I haven't sung that one about the faithful one in ages, it seems like. Faithful one. So unfailing. Hey, so unfailing. Sometimes it's easy to forget that. And it's good to be reminded that he is unfailing and the ageless one. He never changes. And so this morning, Father, as we come into your presence, we ask, O God, that you will guide us in your word. We pray that by your Spirit, you would take our hands and you would lead us along a pathway here as we study two of your senior citizens, two old saints who can offer us so much insight in how to live life to the fullest, to the max. And so I pray today that as we continue on in our series, that the ageless message, the message that is for all ages, no matter how old or young you are, God can meet us and move us. And as even as we heard this morning through the I Met Jesus video and Carrie Lynn's testimony. As a little girl, she fell in love with you. She knew your love. She wandered shore, but eventually she came back around because of the pull of that beautiful love. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can be young and we can be old in Jesus and live full and meaningful and purposeful lives as we seek you out with all our hearts. So now I pray, oh God, that you would take the meditations of my heart and the thoughts that you have been providing for me as I've walked through this passage in preparation. And I just ask that you would help me, Lord, by your Spirit, to convey the beauty that is written in these pages for us, at least one aspect of it. You are never finished with us, Lord. And Father, even though we may feel old, and even though we may feel lots of aches and pains, we may feel very limited in our abilities. No matter what they are, the abilities we do have can be used by you to bring glory to your name and to spread your fame everywhere we go. So I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to carry on in the book of Luke. And so if you want to read along, you can. We're still in chapter 2. And we're going to take a look at two senior citizens today. And we've looked at Joseph as a young man, probably in his mid-30s, somewhere around there. Mary, a teenager, quite often. Young girls became married within 12, 13, 14 years of age. That was arranged in their culture. Elizabeth, who was definitely in her midlife, even probably her 60s, and her husband, Zechariah, were given a child in a barren womb. And so again, another age of life where God has been ministering. And of course, on Christmas Eve, we took a look at who else but the baby Jesus. And even the power that he has is in embryonic phase, in the tiniest speck inside Mary's womb. When she met Elizabeth, Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit, and John, the baby inside of her, leapt with joy. Because of the embryonic presence of Jesus. Just a little hint, a dust of Jesus. Wow, there's power. There's power. And so we look at that and how it affected the baby John inside the womb of her relative Elizabeth. And today we want to draw some life lessons from two senior citizens that oftentimes get left out of the Christmas story. And I was actually quite pleased that today is kind of still Christmas, even though, you know, we had it yesterday. Boxing Day is kind of still part of the same day, it seems like. And there's this wonderful connection. And so in this instance, finally, I believe, we're going to give some due diligence to two people who can easily be overlooked in the Christmas story. In fact, I don't know of any plays that include these two seniors. You know, going up in the church, we always has to have these dramas, these Christmas dramas. And of course, it was all about Jesus, which it should be. But very few, if I can't remember any times when someone came into the play dressed as Simeon or as Anna. Can you? It just doesn't happen. And yet, Luke, in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, gives them a front and center page. And one of the beautiful things about this is truly that they are just normal people. You would easily miss them if it wasn't for the spotlight of the Holy Spirit that draws our attention to them and the work of God in their lives and the voice of Jesus that comes out of them when they meet Jesus for the first time. So we want to take a look at this. What are some of the lessons that we can take? Well, the number one lesson that I'm gonna say it now, and then I'm just gonna move on a little bit, and that is, you're never too old, Grandma. You are never too old. God wants to use you. It doesn't matter how old you are. God wants to use you. And that's exciting news. He wants us to know that from infancy all the way through the rest of your life, however long God gives you, as long as you're drawing breath, God will use you. And He wants to use you. And those who are faithful to Him long for Him to use us. Because what an adventure it is. So let's meet these folks. Let's look at the reading from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was the time to circumcise him, they're talking about Jesus, he was named Jesus. The name the angel had given him before he was even conceived. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of God, every firstborn male to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves and two pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. I love that introduction. There was this dude who hung around the city of Jerusalem, and his name was Simeon, okay? His name was Simeon, and he was righteous and devout. He was waiting. That's important to know. He was waiting for the consolation, the comfort, the restoration of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Very unusual statement. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, before he had seen Jesus. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was accustomed the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, wow, as you have promised, you can now dismiss your servant in peace. I'm ready to go. I've seen everything." That's what he's saying. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, specifically his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, in the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage and then was widowed until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Wow. A couple of saints that are just old, but on fire. old but on fire. Hey, oh Lord, make me grow old and never lose the flame. Never lose the fire. I want to grow old just like Simeon. I want to grow old just like Anna, who had been waiting and longing and praying and fasting and worshiping and seeking God and filled with the Spirit, spoke truth to them there in that day. I want to grow old and be just like them. Do you? You know, the beauty of the story is that Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, were doing exactly what God had commanded. It's very clearly laid out there. It's a little hard for us to kind of capture this because we don't have to do all these religious duties anymore. But they had to, according to the law of Moses, they had to go to the temple, they had to have Jesus circumcised, they had to have a time of purification for Mary, they had to offer their firstborn to God. These were all written in the law. And so, in essence, in a simple sort of way, they were just doing what they were supposed to be doing. And I got to tell you, there's truth in this. That when we decide right up front just to be doing what God has asked us to do, amazing things can happen. Just because they were being obedient, just because they were acting in simple devotion, just because they were doing what the law had commanded, this gave opportunity for God to once again shine the light of Jesus so brightly that it cannot be missed. It cannot be missed. Their obedience to God led to them being amazed. They marveled, it says in verse 33, at what was being said about their child, even though they already knew that he was amazingly special, right? Mary especially knew, but so did Joseph. He had had an angel encounter in a dream. He had been following the Lord. He had known what God was up to. Otherwise, he would have divorced Mary. And so even in the midst of all of these amazing miracles, when these two senior citizens out of nowhere show up and speak a truth, a prophetic word, Mary and Joseph marveled once again. This is amazing. And I was reminded when I was studying this that when we give our hearts to God, when we follow Him, when we seek for Him, search for Him, run after Him, He promises, according to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, that He will glorify Himself in us. How? By accomplishing things for us that we could never have imagined or even asked. Isn't that wonderful? They had no idea when they made the journey from Bethlehem to the temple what was going to happen. They were just doing it out of obedience. And then suddenly their lives were intersected by these saintly people who loved God deeply, who took the child from Mary's arms and blessed him and blessed them. And then Anna comes along and couldn't not tell everybody she met because of who she was. And so it is in the doing, it is in the obeying, it is in the simplicity of living a life by faith that God comes and does things that truly amaze. And I think you would have a similar testimony. Those of you in the room who've been a Christian a while, you would probably have a similar testimony that when you do the things that God asks you to do, things happen that you could never have imagined. And they may not be as amazing as two old people showing up and blessing you, but they could happen just inside your soul. How relaxed, how at ease, how at peace, how much hope you have. Have you noticed the two of them? How forward-looking they were. They weren't stuck in the past. They were forward-looking because of what they knew from the past. And I don't know about you, but I've met many seniors that all you hear about is what happened. Very few are talking about what's going to happen. Oh God, make me a senior citizen someday that is just like Simeon, just like Anna, who know the Word of God, who bathe themselves in worship and prayer and are forward-looking. I want us as a church to be forward-looking. Yes, we look back because we learn from the past. We learn even from reading the Scriptures, which was written long ago. We learn from the past, but we don't get bogged down back there. We bring it into the present, and we allow it to influence how we see the future. Amen? If there was ever a time now when the Church of Jesus Christ needs to rise up with a message of hope, it's now. It's now. And it doesn't happen because we do amazing things. It happens because we follow simply, just simply follow the commands of God. And things happen that we couldn't have imagined or even asked for. You know, isn't that beautiful? I love to pray. I like to learn how to pray better. I like my prayers to be as big and bold as possible. But I'll tell you what, there are prayers that I haven't prayed yet because the Spirit of God hasn't opened my eyes to them yet. And I want to press in to find those prayers. I want to press in to find those promises. Oh, God, help us do that. God introduces us to these two beautiful saints on purpose. And Luke takes up valuable time in the Scripture to describe them to us. I found it interesting. Simeon, we know very little. A guy named Simeon from Jerusalem. Okay, we know about his character, but we don't know much about him. And he gives a humongous, passionate prophecy about Jesus. We'll get to that in a second. Compared to Anna, who we glean a whole lot of information about, and who she is and why she's there, and her goal in life is to simply tell everybody about the redemption of God. That God came to buy us back from evil, from things that destroy us. He came to purchase us, to pay the price. That's the redemption that he paid through his son Jesus for the future. All right, let's see if we can dig into some of this. Let's read a little bit again about Simeon. Let it kind of soothe us, like the gravy that I was pouring over my turkey and ham last night. Just let it kind of pour over us. All right? Let it pour over us. There was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and he was waiting. Righteous, devout, waiting. He was waiting for the comfort, the consolation, the restoration of Israel. Because he was drenched in the Scripture. He was focused in on that. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. One translation said the Holy Spirit rested on him. Folks, this is unusual. Before Jesus went back to heaven and left behind for us the Holy Spirit to be filled with, this kind of statement is rare. Even though Jesus is in the picture and the Holy Spirit isn't forgotten, it's a time when the Holy Spirit was not given the way he is now for us. And yet here's a man from Jerusalem. Who knows what he did? Maybe he was a bricklayer. Maybe he was a yardman. He just cleaned up people's yards. Maybe he drove a rock truck in the local mine. Hey, maybe he worked at Safeway. He's just a guy. But he's a guy that knows his God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I pray, help us all as just normal, everyday people going through normal, everyday life not to view our lives that way. Help us to view them the way he does. Righteousness. He was a devout follower. He was obedient. He treated other people well. And he was devout. He was connected to his God. He pursued God. He laid his heart out before God. And he was awaiting. He was a patient man. Oh, Lord, give us patient men who dive into the Scriptures, who are not rash, who don't rush ahead of the Holy Spirit, who don't fall behind because they're so focused on the past. Give us men of God who are older in the faith, who are patiently waiting. This is a hard description. Oh, don't kid yourself. I hate waiting. Who doesn't really? And yet here you have a man quotations, right? You put them around. Righteous, devout, and waiting. And he is full of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is upon him, right? The Spirit of God is leading him. The Spirit of God is speaking to him. Oh, Lord, that you would enable us to hear your Spirit's voice now and as we move through life, anticipating what it is you're going to call us into. God had given him a wonderful promise, according to this passage, that he would not die before he got to see the salvation God was going to provide. And at that moment, he was moved by the Spirit to come into the temple courts when his parents were doing what they were supposed to be doing. There are so many delightful little nuances in this that should inspire you. Be obedient. Be obedient wherever you are, whatever it is you're doing. If you're a mom looking after two kids, being a homeschooler these days is part of the process. Mom, dad, as you're just going through the motions of life, remember that God, his Spirit, wants to lead you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to move you. Hallelujah. He's not just waiting for the pastor to get his life together. Hallelujah for that. We are in this together. You notice he was expectant. What are you expecting as you look forward to 2022? Have you allowed your expectation of what God is up to be clouded by CBC, CTV, and the global news? Or have you gained your perspective because you understand the God of creation has not slipped off his throne and somehow we've gotten ourselves into this mess? He has not, folks. He is wanting us to dig a little deeper. He is wanting our righteousness to shine. He is wanting our devotion to be deep and abiding. He is wanting us to be expectant of what he wants to accomplish, and he wants his Spirit to guide us and move us. Amen? Thank you, Simeon, for such a glorious example of a man who doesn't even have, who did not have the advantages that we have today with the Holy Spirit indwelling us through Christ when we believe. He didn't have those advantages, and yet look at who he is. Hallelujah. Imagine what you could do for the kingdom if you let yourself be led as Simeon was, who didn't even have your advantages. Come on now. That'll preach. God still wants to speak to you. He wants to meet you in the quietness, in the stillness of waiting. He wants to come to you. And he wants to reveal himself to you through his Spirit. He wants your life to shine brightly in this dark world. And he wants to give you a message that is clear and true and hopeful and solid, as Simeon's message was. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you come from, who you are, or what you do. All that matters is that you're pressing in and waiting on him. Simeon believed in a life of constant prayer and quiet watchfulness. He was devout. He was humble enough to understand that the only way to go about living life to the fullest is to be like this, to press in and seek God. And God met him in a powerful way. One of the commentaries that I was reading spoke of these two as the quiet in the land. I love that. The quiet in the land. I've been saying this a few times these last few weeks. There's a whole lot of noise going on. There's a whole lot of people claiming to have a corner on the truth. There's a whole lot of people talking and talking and talking and talking. And what I believe God wants from his church right now is no more talking. No more talking. But waiting. Waiting quietly in the land for God to move. Waiting.
quietly, peacefully, quiet, godliness, dignity. These things please God, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, who wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth. And it sounds as though, in my understanding of this passage, the more we clamor, the more we talk, the more we shout with our loudest shouts and talk over each other and through each other and past each other, the more we talk, the less God is pleased, because the truth is being missed out. I know. I have a stubborn streak in me. If someone pushes me, I push back. But if someone comes in and subtly puts it out there, what they think maybe God is saying, I'm attracted. You see, subtleness is a lost art, because we've lost the art of waiting. Waiting on God. Thank you, Simeon, for this wonderful example. Timothy also says that godliness and contentment is great gain. Being content, being satisfied with the richest affair that's going on in my soul, that's filling me, as Jesus promised, the hungry and the thirsty would be filled. For righteousness, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. He wants us to know this deep and satisfying truth that bubbles up from within, but it doesn't just happen. It happens because we devote ourselves to waiting. Waiting. God will provide the time to speak, just like he did for Simeon, just like he did for Jesus. Jesus tells us in the book of John, he says, I don't say anything unless my Father first shows me what to say. Even how to say it, Jesus said. Show me what to say and how to say it and when to say it. But that just doesn't come along because you're such a nice guy. It comes along because you wait in his presence. Thank you, Simeon. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us this worthy goal, that we would fill out, that we would live out all our days like Simeon did, seeking God, seeking the fullness of the Spirit in our daily lives, living with an expectant heart, expectant that God will do something. And I am preparing myself in his presence for that day. So the moment he says, Simeon, go to the temple now, I am ready. I'm ready to just drop whatever it is I'm doing. If it's a hammer and a saw, I drop it and I go, because the Spirit of God has moved me. Oh Lord, make us men and women like Simeon. Teach us, Lord, how to pray, the disciples asked. Teach us, Lord, how to wait in your presence. And give us a message that is so clear, so resounding, that Joseph and Mary marveled. You know what he basically said? I'll just summarize it for time's sake. He basically said, this child is going to divide Israel. He's going to divide Israel, and he's going to divide all people around the world. Because either you believe him and follow him, or you resist him and you walk away. That's what he says. For the rising and the falling of many in Israel. He's talking about those who will believe and those who won't. And the tension between the two will only grow to the point where they'll put our Savior on a cross. That's how much the tension grew between those who believed and those who didn't. And that's what Simeon is saying. And he looks at Mary and he says to her, you know, this is a beautiful day. Treasure it, because one day a sword will come and pierce your own heart. Now, I know some of you have lost children. I know that piercing. I've heard that piercing of the heart. This is what Mary could expect from Jesus, her son, that one day his death would pierce her soul. A wonderful prophetic word. But I want you to notice the focus of the prophecy. I think this is important for this day, because there are a lot of people out there trying to prophesy. They're trying to give us prophetic messages. And I just don't sense the presence of Jesus in most of it. Because here's the truth. The truth of revelation, the truth of prophetic words, listen carefully. The truth is that in prophetic words, the Spirit of Jesus is revealed. Listen to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 10. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Don't be misled. Listen to every word that someone claims is prophetic. Listen for Jesus to be revealed. Watch for Him to be the center of the attention in prophetic words, because the spirit of the prophet is Jesus. And if you don't hear Jesus in the prophetic words that you're listening to, scrap it. Move on. Find those who will prophesy about Jesus and make Him the center of our attention rather than everything else. Worship God, the angel said to John in his vision. Focus on Him, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The essence of true prophecy never moves far away from Jesus. He is the one who is the witness in it. And it provides for us common folks a simple test. Whoever claims to be a prophet, whoever is claiming to be prophesying, his words, their words, her words must fall at the powerful feet of an almighty Jesus. If they don't lead you there, leave it. This man knew God. Think of this moment, all right? He knew that God held him in the palm of his hands. Now just imagine yourself, this old Simeon. He takes Jesus into his palms. He knew that God held him in the palm of his hands, and now he holds salvation in his hands. Those common, rough, maybe, hands. Those everyday hands. He held Jesus. He held him. Think about that powerful moment where he cries out, "Okay, Lord, you can take me now. I've seen it all. Salvation. Salvation." What a joy. Joy inexpressible, maybe. Joy that can't find words. So deeply ingrained in his heart as he had been promised to see him, but not just see him now, hold him. Wow. What a moment. Oh, people of God, let us live our lives in expectation that one day we will not only see Jesus, but we will hold him. He'll be there with us. Hallelujah. Woo! This preaches, doesn't it? This comes right off the pages, right into today's news, right into our lives in this dark day. Someday, we will see him face to face, and we will be known, and he will be known. How exciting is that for us who believe? He was ready to die. So, Lord, make me ready to die at the right time. At the right time. Hey, my life is in his hands. It doesn't matter about war. It doesn't matter about famine. It doesn't matter about vicious things happening around us. It doesn't matter about viruses. I am in his hands until the day he says, "Okay, Kevin, come on, let's go home. Come and see me." Oh, Lord, help me be like Simeon until that day. Help us be like him. Amen? Simple. Awesome truth. Now, let's move. Let's move to the female in the story, Anna. She's a prophetess. A rare office, I might add. Very few prophetesses. Maybe on your one hand you could count in the Old Testament the number of prophetesses there are mentioned. Here's one of them. Anna. Now, she was the daughter of Phanuel. And he is from the tribe of Asher. Now, I wondered about that. I was going to pass by it. I was going to say, "Oh, that's interesting. Okay, fair enough. She's a Jew,
right? She's a Jewish lady, no doubt about it.
But an interesting tidbit about Asher. Asher is not a very well-known tribe. If you go through the scriptures, there is very little that comes out of the tribe of Asher except trouble. I think it's there for a reason. You can't just pass by.
I was just going to, oh yeah, she's from the tribe of Asher, cool.
But no, the Holy Spirit stopped my tracks. He said, let people know, no matter what your background is, no matter your background, no matter how many times, like Carolyn said, she messed up. No matter how horrible your family history, your family tree might be, no matter how evil, no matter how far away from God the tribe of Asher in your life is, you can know this for sure, that if you come to God, He will meet you. He does not care about your history. He cares about you. Now, He will care for your history. If it's a bad one, He'll heal you from it. If it's a good one, He'll use that. He'll even use the bad stuff to make you effective. So here we are, this very old lady. She had lived with her husband for 7 years. So she had a wonderful 7 years of marriage, and then he died. And she was a widow until she was 84. So if my math is right, and I'm going to guess and say, let's say she got married at 13. 84 and 13. 71? 84 and 13, not the other way. Add. Because you got to add the years before she was married. She's close to 100. Okay, so she's old. We can safely say that. Right? You're a teenager in her presence. Right? She's old. Here she comes. All right. She never left the temple, but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. I love this. Coming up to them at that very moment. Oh, yeah. The steps, the scripture says, the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in their way. Though they fall, He will not let them stay. He will lift them up. He will lift them up and carry them. This is Anna, the old lady in the temple, worshiping God day and night. Oh, I don't even know what to say about that. That is so far away from my life, and I work here. To be in His presence like Anna. To be near Him, to worship Him day and night, fasting and praying. Wouldn't you like to know what she was fasting and praying for? I would love to know. And maybe someday I'll find Anna on a street of gold and say, hey, can you sit down for a cup of coffee with me? I want to hear what you are fasting and praying for. Well, we get a little tiny glimpse when she said she would go out. Look at what happens. Coming up to that very moment, she spoke out about the child and all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. So somewhere in that fasting and praying, she was looking for the redemption. She was seeking for God to move and bring forgiveness and redemption and wholeness and to buy us back. She's a widow. So she knows what suffering is. In those days, if your husband died and you didn't have anybody else, you ended up in the temple somewhere around there so that you could at least get a few scraps from the priests. Here she was, broken, sad, 7 years. No mention of children, nothing. This is amazing, folks. Not only is she old and not only is she barren, but God has anointed her as a prophetess. You know, I got to say this. And I think it's true in almost every case. I can't think of one that's not true, where when God wants to use someone powerfully, they first are tried by fire powerfully. Your trials, your difficulties, your troubles are not there just to annoy you, because they certainly do that. They are there to put into you the pieces of the puzzle that God is working out in your life. Even Jesus learned obedience from the things that he suffered, Hebrews tells us. When you go through these hardships, the temptation is great to be bitter. And she could have been a bitter old woman. Husband died when had only been married 7 years, no children, leaving me with nothing. She could have been bitter. Couldn't you? Not this Anna. This Anna pressed in. She pressed in to know the Lord. She pressed in through fasting and worship and prayer. She went to the temple every single day. In fact, it even the way it's written, it indicates that she lived there. I don't know where or how she lived there, but she lived there. She was there when the doors were open. As soon as they were open, she was there, and she was back again the next day when they opened up the next day. However that all worked in that culture, she was always hanging around. A temple fly, you could say, buzzing around. I just wonder, she's a prophetess. I wonder if people who came to worship God in the temple, I wonder if Anna would nestle up to them and just say, I have a word from God for you, and encourage them and strengthen them. It doesn't say that, but she's a prophetess. That would have been her role. Her role would have bring people to the knowledge of God, to convict them of their sin, to encourage them and comfort them, and to increase their strength, their fortitude, their courage to face whatever it is they were facing. What a ministry she had. Oh, I want to find out more about this woman. And someday I will, over a cup of heavenly coffee. She spent all her time worshiping. That's because she could, right? She had nowhere else to go. She worshiped. She didn't waste it on bitterness. Instead, she engaged it in fasting and prayer. She was deeply in love with God, and she sought him with all her heart constantly. Oh, God, make us like Anna. Make us like her. Devoted, full of desire to be in your presence, to fast and to pray when no one else was looking. Just me and God, fasting, praying. And you know, she was forward-looking too. And she just happened to come along. Imagine, she happened to come along just as Simeon was prophesying over the child. And there she was. She came along, and what did she do? She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child. The focus of prophetic word is who? Jesus. In this case, the child. And all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Everywhere this woman went, people got a message. God is on the move. God is working in people's lives. God is changing hearts, changing minds. He's on the move. Never, ever, ever lose sight of the fact that God is working 24/7, every day, all day, every week, every month, every year. He never ceases his work. And he is working in you, and he is working in the situations around you, and he will guide you to the people. Anyone who would listen, she would tell about the child. She was the original prophetic evangelist. And she didn't even have the advantages we do in the New Testament with the Holy Spirit indwelling us all the time. Another solid example of a goal worth striving for in a person who was devoted to worship. Oh God, make us like Anna. Amen. There is so much bitterness in our lives. It comes in so many forms and to so many degrees of depth. But the seed of bitterness is there. And we must not allow it through worship, through prayer, through fasting. This life, Jesus said, is full of trouble. He said, but in this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I've overcome the world. Take heart. Don't lose heart. Take heart. Be encouraged. God's not finished yet. He's not finished with this world, and he's certainly not finished with you or you and me. I would be in a different position. I'd be giving your funeral talk. Instead, you're here breathing with me. You know what that means? It doesn't matter how old you are or how old you think you are or your past or how often you've messed up or how difficult your life has been. It does not matter. When you come to God and you focus your heart on him, he welcomes you in, forgives your sins, cleans you up, and gives you a message of hope that comes from deep, deep, deep down inside. Irresistible. Who would be afraid of a little old lady? Who? Hey? You talk about the forms that God uses to speak to people. Who's afraid of little old ladies? Well, maybe there are some to be afraid of, but generally speaking, one commentator put it this way. After the years had left Anna without bitterness and an unshakable hope, unshakable hope in an unshakable God. Hallelujah. Day by day, she kept contact with him who is the source of her strength and whose strength was even found in her weakness, and it was made perfect. So I thought, what better way to close a message than to pray? I invite you to pray with me. I wrote out these prayers. I want to read them to you. And at the end, if you agree with what I've just said, say amen, okay? All right, Lord, today I pray for myself and I pray for all of us that we would, in spite of our difficulties, our sorrows, and our troubles, grow old as gracefully and full of faith and hope as Simeon and Anna did. Amen. Lord, I pray that as you did for these two old saints, that you would allow us to be a group of people who hunger and thirst for the Lord, whose hunger and thirst for the Lord only deepens and leads us to be the kind of people who wait patiently on the Lord, not in a hurry, not rushing around, not speaking over others, not speaking at people, not talking when we should be silent, but instead waiting for you to come and speak to us first in that still small voice that is so powerful, so full of life, so full of joy, and focused on Jesus. Amen. I pray that we, your people, would desire to focus our attention, the eyes of our hearts on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, seeing him daily, to live the life full of the Holy Spirit, to seek him out in prayer and fasting and worship, and all the more as we see the day approaching, the day of his coming. Thus enabling us to keep our hope secure, our love from growing cold, and our hearts soft and pliable as we wait patiently for him to speak to us. strengthening us for the challenges of each new day, fanning into flame the desire of our souls, the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I pray that we'd be like these two old saints, ready in the moment to follow the promptings of your Holy Spirit within us, ready to give a reason for the hope in order that we would proclaim Jesus to everyone the Spirit prompts us to tell. As Peter writes, that we would set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts and always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks us for the reason for the hope that we have, and to do so in gentleness and respect. Amen. Finally, as we say farewell, O God, to 2021, on this, the last Sunday of the year, that we would be like Simeon and Anna, who were full of hope and confidence because they were full of the Spirit. They lived their lives facing forward with expectation and faith. No matter what comes our way, that they're there in the midst of life, so that we can slip our hand into yours and be led along as a good father does, leads his children. And we pray this intimacy into our new year, 2022. Amen. Be encouraged by two old people, and may we strive to be just like them. Amen.